So hear God's word, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now let's go to Psalm 37. We'll read verses 1 through 7. And that's found on page 550. Psalm 37 and verse 1. Fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. You know this feeling, don't you? The feeling that you have when someone else gets what you've been wanting for a really long time. Perhaps you know the feeling, if you're single, of receiving the news that your best friend is engaged. And you say you're happy, and yet something is nagging at your heart at the same time. Do you know the feeling of having a coworker be promoted? And you think to yourself, I've worked harder than this person. This person doesn't deserve it, and yet they're promoted. And then you come up to him and you pretend you're happy, but still something is nagging at your heart. Do you know those feelings? What is that feeling? Most likely it's envy. Envy can be so destructive. When I first moved here, I noticed all of the slugs that are common in this area. We would get slugs on our patio. I'd take off my grill cover, a slug on my grill, open up my grill, there's a slug in my grill. Some of you are nodding your head. You know this experience. I haven't seen as many lately as when I first got here, but even this summer, though, tending to my flower beds, and you see snails, and so those are just slugs with a beautiful shell on them. And I was told that slugs can be devastating, because slugs can devour anything green, and they can ruin your gardens, and they can ruin your flower beds. Well, what is envy? It's very much being like a slug. We want to devour anything good in another person's life. We want to tear them down, make them miserable. So it's destructive to other people's lives, and it's also destructive to our own lives, because we will never have peace, we will never have joy in the Lord if we are constantly living with envy in our hearts. And so today I want to focus on, as we go through 1 Corinthians 13, I want to focus on love does not envy. And so there's three things. First, we'll talk about the nature of envy, because 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 says love does not envy. Well, what is that all about? What's the nature of envy? And then second, we'll talk about how envy destroys all possibility of love. And then third, we'll talk about how we can fight against envy. So first, the nature of envy. Envy is negative feelings towards another person's happiness when compared to your own. Envy has a sense of resentment to it. You are resenting someone's material wealth. You are resenting their other prosperity in life, their social prosperity. You resent how they look, or you resent their health. You resent some aspect of their happiness, wanting to tear them down in order to elevate yourself above them. So envy is like jealousy. I think envy includes jealousy, but it goes one step beyond that as well, where you want to harm a person. You want them to be brought low so you can exalt yourself and your own happiness. Now, if the way I described envy right now sounds so sick and disturbing, it's because it is sick and disturbing. Envy is the ultimate exaltation of the self here, right? We want to tear others down so we can assert ourselves. We don't want other people to be happy because we want to be happy. We can't find joy in other people's lives unless we have more joy than them. It's so selfish, so prideful, and yes, it is very sick and disturbing. And I think maybe that's why envy has been associated with the color green. You've probably heard the phrase before, eyes green with envy. So I thought to myself, well, where does that phrase come from? And so I looked that up, and it goes back to ancient times. And it was thought that people with envy had a stronger production of bile in their bodies. And as your bodies produce more bile, your skin could turn yellowish or even green. And so hence, eyes green with envy. So envy itself is just associated with sickness, right? Bile and grossness. Because it is. It's a serious sin. Wanting to exalt yourself and to have your idea of happiness and not wanting other people to be happy. Resenting people for having health, wealth, and other prosperity. And envy comes in different forms. You can envy someone who has more things than you, or things that you want. And so you look at someone's house and, well, where do they get that big house from? How did they get that money? Right? You're resenting them. They didn't work as hard as I did. Now here I am working hard, slaving away. I've got a smaller house, and they must have cheated someone, or they must have had some kind of handout or family fortune. How can someone have a house like that? It's envy, and you're resenting them for having that. Or maybe you see an attractive spouse. And so let's say a husband has a very attractive spouse, and so then you envy, like, well, the only reason she has her looks is because she's had numerous surgeries, and you know she doesn't work. She has all the time in the world to just pretty herself up. And here I've got several kids, and so you know my body's stretched. I have to chase kids. I don't have time to do my makeup or hair all the time. So you're just envying the beauty of another person. So we can envy what people have, and we can also envy what they might have. We can envy opportunities. So maybe you know someone who, and that person has an interview for a good job, and well, I would love to have that kind of job, but I just don't have the connections this person does. It must be nice to have those kinds of personal connections to be able to land that kind of interview. And so as we're thinking all these resentful thoughts, we're also, it's going deeper, and it's like, well, that person isn't really qualified. I'd be more qualified. It's just because of his connections. What is that? It's resentfulness, it's envy towards their opportunities that you do not have. And we have to be careful of making excuses for our envy, because we can say things like, well, he or she doesn't really deserve that. He or she really isn't qualified. And we're just justifying the envy in our own hearts, justifying our spiteful thoughts and our deep desire to have them fall and for them to not get what they want so that we can get what we want. And envy is contrary to what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit, we read in 1 Corinthians, has given everyone gifts, and these gifts are meant to build up the body of Christ, and the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And so there's a whole ton of gifts, and we're supposed to be celebrating each other what we all uniquely contribute to the church and to the community, and there is no lesser or greater thing ultimately, because it's all given to us by God, by grace, and yet envy is resenting what the Spirit is doing. And envy is resenting what God's plan is. Envy is an attack on God, because God has a sovereign plan. And in this sovereign plan, some people get different things and do different things. And when you envy someone, you're saying, God, your plan is garbage. I want that plan to come to ruin so I can have a different plan for my life. So envy is very serious. It's grieving the Holy Spirit, and it's attacking God and His sovereignty, saying that, God, you don't know what you're doing. I would do things differently and better. So that this is the nature of envy. Is any of this in you? Have you desired anyone to fall short so that you can be happier? Have you had any of these resentful thoughts? Have you ever coveted another person's house or spouse or things that they have? Have you ever wanted to be number one in happiness and other people have lesser happiness than you? Is any of this in you? If it is, I hope that the Spirit continues to stir your heart and you can come before the Lord with repentance and ask Him to change you and give you a new heart. So that's the nature of envy. And envy also keeps us from loving. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 is saying. Love does not envy. If you have love in you, if you really love someone, you can't envy them. So that means if you have envy, you're not going to be able to love people very well. I want to demonstrate this for you with Scripture. So we have Acts chapter 7. And there it mentions that Joseph's brothers were envious of Joseph. It actually uses the word jealous, but in the Bible, jealous and envy can often be interchangeable, and certainly envy includes jealousy. So Joseph's brothers were envious of Joseph. So Joseph had preferential treatment from his father, and that wasn't right, but that's what happened. And Joseph also, he had the coat of many colors, and his brothers were so envious of this, and so they plotted his downfall, and they sold him to slavery in Egypt. So I just think about brothers being envious of another brother, brothers being envious of how parents treat them. And I think those can be dynamics in our own families. Maybe parents have shown favoritism. Not right, but maybe that's what happened. So you envy your sibling. And that envy is keeping you from loving your sibling, because now you just view that sibling under a colored lens, and everything they do is wrong. And so you hate your sibling in your heart because of that envy. Or maybe your brother is just more talented in certain areas, and you're envious of that, and that envy keeps you from wanting to go out for coffee with him. Or then maybe the envy towards your sibling leads to hatred towards your parents. And so you see how these dynamics just work itself out. Envy just penetrates the workings of our family and can just keep us from loving them like we should. I think of Acts chapter 17, and there Paul goes to the city of Thessalonica, and he's preaching the word, and people are becoming Christians, and as people become Christians, they are leaving their Jewish faith and being part of the church now and following Christ, and so the Jewish leaders become envious of Paul and others. And the Jewish leaders becoming envious, it's not because of the message that Paul was preaching. They were envious over the power that they thought he had. So here's Paul preaching, and so people are following Christ, but it looks like they're following Paul, so they're envious of Paul. Look at all of his followers. They're envious over the power, not the message. And in fact, some of those leaders probably could even care less about the message. They just wanted the fame. And if you have envy over someone because of power, you're going to be prevented from loving them. Here's how it can work. Let's say you're part of a church committee, and you've had all these good ideas that have been implemented, and so now you're coming to a new task, and you come up with some great ideas, and people say, "Wow, those are good ideas." They start to listen to you, so you feel good, you feel famous, you feel powerful. You feel as if you have authority. But then someone else comes along on that committee and has other good ideas. And people start to listen to that person's good ideas and they decide, well, your ideas are great, but they're not going to work. We're going to do this other person's good ideas. So now you feel like your power is taken, your fame is taken, and people are all excited and asking that person all these questions. How can we put this into practice? And so you are just filled with envy. Because that person's got the power and not your own, and not you. And I think of James chapter 4, and it mentions envy in connection with quarreling. So envy leads to fighting between people. And it does. Let's say, for example, a church has 5 concrete pourers in the church. But the church wants to make a new sidewalk area. And so they get bids from their 5 concrete pourers, but only one bid is going to be accepted. And so they decide on one bid, and so that means one of the 5 gets to pour, and the others do not. Well, some of them could be envious. Well, why aren't my gifts realized in church? I've been a member far longer than that person. Why aren't they using my skills? And so now the envy you have towards that person keeps you from loving that person. So the other 4 concrete workers avoid the one concrete worker. They don't talk to him. They start harboring bitter thoughts. And then they begin to, for a strange reason, distrust leadership. Well, leadership, they don't know who I really am. And their envy is keeping them from loving others. Let me give you my own story and struggle with envy. This was when I was in seminary. I was very envious of other students because most of the students got free rides. Parents or grandparents or someone was paying for everything. They stayed in an apartment for free. They got food for free. And yes, they were taking classes and working hard at their schoolwork, but everyone provided everything for them. And I pretty much put myself through seminary. And every day after class, I was working. And I barely had time to do any homework. And I became very envious of them, just deeply resentful. And my resentfulness, before I realized this and put an end to it, did keep me from loving them. Because I was thinking bad thoughts about them. Like, oh, they don't know the meaning of work. They're just coasting by. And so I wouldn't talk to them. Or if I did sit at the table with them, I was just thinking negative thoughts as I ate and drank with them. I was able to put an end to that eventually, but that's my story of envy. And I've got one more here. And this is what one person writes. I thought this was just very, very good because I think a lot of us might have gone through these things. Here's what one woman writes about her struggle with envy. And you see how it keeps her from loving the person closest to her. So she writes, quote, "Recently my fiancé has been really wanting to improve himself physically and wants to get a gym membership so that he can go and exercise. He asked me if he can, and I've been hesitant and told him that I want him to be sure that he can afford the gym membership. Deep down, I think I almost want him not to go so that I don't feel like a loser who's not doing anything to improve myself. He's also been working on a fiction book for some time, and he's lost inspiration in the past to keep working on it. And I myself have been writing and giving book writing a shot, doing a fictional story, and I also have quickly lost inspiration. But recently, my fiancé has gotten the motivation again to keep working on it. And he's been doing really good about keeping up with it. And yet here I am still wanting to give up on everything I've started. He's been so excited and telling me how happy he is that he wants to work on it again. I'm glad he found the inspiration. But honestly, his joy in writing again has made me angry and depressed with myself because I can't do the same. So there's two people engaged. And the woman is envious of her fiancé. And how do you think this relationship is going to turn out? Envy stifles love. So we have to fight against it. So how do we fight against it? We want to be free in Christ. We want to experience contentment. We want to experience joy in the Lord. We don't want our envy to keep us from having love unleashed on the world for the sake of Christ. So how do we fight against it? Well, here's where Psalm 37 comes in. I hope you have your Bibles still open. I'm just going to go through this real quickly here through the first 7 verses. So here's Psalm 37. Here's how we fight against it. Okay, verse 1, it says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb." So here there's people who are prosperous, and in this context, they're also evildoers. And it says, don't be envious of them. Don't be concerned about them. Well, why? Because they're going to fade away like grass. The implication then on the other side is that we who believe in God will have everlasting life. So sometimes we think, you know, why do the wicked people prosper? Why does their life seem to be so easy? Why are they so wealthy? Well, don't be envious of them, because they're going to wither away like grass. But us, in the Lord, we are going to live forever. And we have something far more precious and amazing than money and wealth and fame and ease of life. We have everlasting life. Forever and ever with Jesus Christ and the new creation. So don't fret about those who have more than you. The evil ones, they will wither, but we will live forever. Hey, look at verse 3. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness." So trust in the Lord. You have been given what you've been given by grace. You've got your gifts. You've got your abilities. You've got your money. You've got your job. It's all from God. He's got a plan. So just trust in Him. God knows what He's doing. He's wise. He's good. So what if other people have more things than you? You don't need to be envious. Just trust in the Lord. He's got a plan for your life. And it may not be for you to prosper on earthly terms, but He's got a plan, and that's good. So just trust. You've got something good from God already. And I just love that phrase here too. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Just enjoy what you have. You've all been given land, so to speak, a shelter above your head and food to eat. Just enjoy. Be content with what you have. It's good. It's from God. It's by grace. You don't need to envy. Then verse 4, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." What kills envy is love for Jesus. That He is so beautiful, so amazing, so delightful, that I've got Jesus in my life. I don't need to want other things, because Jesus is so satisfying and so sufficient for me. So that kills envy. And you think about how God satisfies those desires. Okay, whenever you envy, there's heart desires there. So maybe you envy because you really desire security. Maybe you really envy because you desire to be known by someone. Well, talk about security. Who's going to give us the security we need? Our God, who holds our salvation secure forever and ever. You want to be known? Our God knows us so perfectly, and His righteousness becomes our own. And God the Father looks at us through the perfection of Jesus Christ. So you want to be loved, you want to be known, you want to be famous. God sees us as worthy, as valuable, as lovable people. So your heart's desire when you envy is not really for those things. You're really yearning for God. You just don't know it. You have to let God satisfy the desires of your heart. And verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. You think you've been given little? You think it's okay to envy because you have so little? Don't worry about how little you have. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit what you do have. God is going to act. God will use your little to do amazing things because God is faithful. And then verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. So there, you know, don't be envious. It's associated with be still before the Lord. Sometimes we envy when we go through very trying circumstances. We have hardly anything. We wonder what the future does hold. Just be still. Just wait. So stop envying. And why can we be still and wait? Because our God is good and sovereign and all-powerful. So the way to fight envy is belief in God, trust, being still, committing your way to Him, and delighting yourself in God. We can also fight against it by looking to Jesus and His own person. You think of Jesus who considered Himself nothing. Jesus who grudged us no good thing. I mean, Jesus did not grudge us eternal life. He willingly died to save us. Jesus did not even grudge us His own throne. Jesus willingly shares His throne. So we're lifted up, we're exalted because of the cross, and we're going to share His throne in the new creation and reign with Him forever and ever. So you see the love of Jesus, you see who He is, and that's what can fill us up. And we can demonstrate that love and not envy other people. Jesus, who willing to share His throne, share His power and authority in that sense. And if we can fight against envy this way, it's going to produce a change in us. And here's how we can change. We can learn to be content with what we have. Just be at peace. It means that we can change competition to cooperation. You're willing to work with someone now. It doesn't matter if they're more gifted than you. So not only from competition to cooperation, but now you can actually rejoice in other people. You see your neighbor get an amazing thing. You just go over, rejoice. This is great that you have this. I'm sharing in your joy. I mean, it's easy for Christians to share burdens with each other, but so hard to share joys because we get envious. Well, we can better share each other's joys. And I think as we fight against this, we're not going to be so concerned with the fate of other people. Here's what I mean by that, and this is how we'll close. Go to John chapter 21, and that's at verse 20. So John 21 at verse 20. So Jesus just said that Peter is going to die a martyr someday. Now Peter will die for his faith. And so we get to John 21 verse 20. It says, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper, and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? So here's Peter envious of John the disciple. Peter is going to die for his faith, and it seems like John is not going to die for his faith. And Peter's like, well, what about him? Why does he get this special treatment? Then verse 22, Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying, don't be concerned with what's happening to other people here. You're a disciple of me. You're called to follow me. That's what matters more than anything else in the world. So cherish what you have, the fact that I've called you to be a disciple of me. What happens to others? It's neither here nor there. So be content with your calling. Be content with what you have. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we confess to you our restlessness, our envy, desire to have what other people have, and how quick we are to cry out, it's not fair, where's what I deserve? Teach us to be content. Kill the envy that is within us. Unleash our love on this world. Amen.